Blog Talk Radio.
Healing rain is coming down. It's coming nearer to this old town. Rich and poor. It's bringing mercy, it won't be long. Healing rain is coming down. It's coming closer to the lost and found. Tears of joy and tears.
Good morning and welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. It is Tuesday. Hope you're having a great week so far. I'm your host, Randy Noble. So glad that you took aside a little bit of your busy time to spend it with me. Well, a lot of times I am asked by people on Facebook, why are you such a strong advocate for Iran? Why are you speaking out for the rights of women? What is it that motivates you? Well, I can tell you very clearly, I have a perfect example right here in front of me this morning that just came up on my notifications. I put it on my Facebook page because it is deplorable. I want you to hear the reason of why I'm a women's rights advocate. Listen to what this Saudi professor from Saudi Arabia said. I don't know exactly where the quote comes from, where it was exactly quoted from, but I want you to hear this man's logic about the proper place for women in the world. Quote, he says, if a woman gets raped walking in public alone, then she herself is at fault. She is only seducing men by her presence. She should have stayed home like a Muslim woman. Yuck, that is scary. That's the kind of mentality you hear so often in the Muslim world. Now, I'm not saying he speaks for every Muslim person that I know. I'm just simply saying this man is a teaching professor. Can you imagine his class? Can you imagine that kind of mentality? Look, if a woman is raped, quote unquote, A, she should have been in the company of her husband. B, she should not have walked outside of her home without his permission, and that's the reason why she's gotten raped, and it's really her fault in reality. This kind of logic and this kind of mentality is what drives me to do what I do. And just later on in the program, we're going to meet the cast of Honor Diaries. Honor Diaries is a very important film that you need to see. It's a documentary exposing the gender inequality and the gender violence against women in the Muslim world. This is a very important film that you want to stick around for in this program. We're going to meet the cast of Honor Diaries. And this is an example of why a movie like Honor Diaries had to be made with this kind of logic from this Saudi professor. Well, I want to say a big happy birthday to my dear friend Jacob Abedini. Jacob is Nagma's son, and of course we know about Saeed suffering in prison in Iran. We're praying specifically this time of the year, Nowruz, when the Iranian government grants clemency to some prisoners. We're praying specifically that Saeed is one of those prisoners set free and released during Nowruz. But I want to say happy birthday to Jacob. He's 6 years old today. And Negma writes on her status, it was a joyous yet painful day missing Saeed in our midst. praying and hoping that the kids would not have to celebrate another birthday without their dad, and we can bring him home soon. Thank you for your continued love and prayers. Love you all. Nagma. And you have to see this precious little boy blowing out candles on a cake. There's three pictures of him, and it's really a beautiful sight. And yes, Jacob, we are praying. We're speaking out and praying your daddy gets home very, very soon. Well, I want to bring you the latest information on Saeed. Just this past weekend, Nagma was on Fox News with Jay Sekulow from the ACLJ. And let's listen to what's the latest on Saeed right now on the cross in the desert.
Well, we've got disturbing new details this morning about an American pastor thrown into one of Iran's most brutal prisons simply for being a Christian. After being moved to a hospital last week for treatment of chronic stomach pain that came from numerous prison beatings, Pastor Saeed Abedini was then shackled and denied medical treatment. Well, Nagma Abedini, wife of the pastor Saeed, and her attorney, Jay Sekulow, chief counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, join us now. Thank you both very much. Mrs. Abedini, what can you tell us about, and I feel sad even bringing this up, but your husband's medical condition right now?
Well, it's been a year since many doctors in the prison and outside of the prison have said he needs treatment, but he has continually been denied. There's been a few times that he's been taken to the hospital, but has been denied. This time he was taken, he was admitted, and before treatment they shackled him and treated him very harshly throughout his a family member that was there and did not treat him.
Mm. Jay, we've talked about this story quite a bit over the last year. I think it's still been largely ignored by most media outlets, unfortunately. How is the Obama administration helping free this American from Iranian custody?
Well, you know, Tucker, as I know we've talked about before, it took a long time to get the State Department really engaged in this. We do now have a situation where the president has directly called for the release of Pastor Abedini. The Secretary of State has brought it up. I think there was a missed opportunity when the P5+1 discussions were going on in Geneva directly with Iran, and you had the foreign minister of Iran right across the table, and you didn't have as a precondition of the discussions and the substantive decisions that were made a agreement to release not only Pastor Saeed Abedini but the other two Americans being held in Iran. But that opportunity came and went. I will tell you this, we've dispatched a team to the United Nations again this week. They're there now, and I will also tell you, which we've not really talked about publicly, we're dispatching a team to the region for high-level negotiations with various governments in the region to work on this release. Pastor Abedini's health continues to deteriorate, and as Nagma just said, while he was in the hospital, not only did he not get the treatment he needed, he was actually brutalized. And this is what the regime's doing. And we're going to have to look at all fronts now to work for his freedom and do it quickly. Time really is of the essence.
Well,
here.
Of course, it's hard. I mean, is there any higher priority for the U.S. government than to help its own citizens languishing unfairly in prisons abroad? Mrs. Abedini, how is your family, how are your children dealing with the absence of their dad?
Well, you know, they don't hear a lot of the ups and downs and the beatings, but it gets harder. I thought with time it gets easier, but it's been getting harder for my kids. They miss him more. They want him home. And it seems to be, it's over a year and a half now, but it seems to we just need him home quickly before even treating him. We just need to get him back home.
How horrifying it must be knowing that he's been ill and being beaten. Jay, are you confident that we're moving toward a resolution here?
Well, yeah, here's my confidence. You know, Tucker, the fact of the matter is, and I want to thank Fox News and you and everybody else that's been covering this, because you're keeping it in the media, and that keeps him alive. I mean, really a big part of this media advocacy is to keep the pressure on Iran and let them know there's a spotlight on this. When this horrific act took place last week, where he was really handled very poorly, and that's an understatement, really mistreated in this hospital, there was global outcry, including out of the European Union. Their representatives were. So that really makes a difference when we can keep it in the spotlight. Frankly, I think keeping it in the spotlight keeps him alive.
Well,
so the progress is incremental, but I want to thank Fox News for covering.
We're glad to hear that. I mean, there's nothing more important, I don't think. Thanks very much. Jay, Mrs. Abedini, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.
That was Jay Sekulow and Magma Abedina on Fox News just this past weekend. And Jay mentioned the public outcry, the global outcry. This is how important you and I are when we speak out, when we sign petitions, and most importantly, when we pray. It does put pressure on Iran. Make no mistake, the speaking out and the signing of petitions makes a huge difference. Just this morning, the United Nations Rapporteur once again released his findings on the gross violations of human rights going on in Iran. Another 80 or 90 pages of the many things that the Iranian government does to oppress, to kill their own people. And I cannot tell you how important your voice is for the Iranians' freedom. If you ever doubt that you make a difference, then remember last week when Saeed was chained and shackled, denied medical treatment, and you cried out and you made your voice known. Iran publicly announced that what they did was a mistake. So don't ever doubt that. And most importantly, never doubt the impact your prayers are having on Saeed. This week has been an incredible week for Alam Ministries. Alam Ministries is a direct ministry to Iranians, and they have released a campaign for the last week about bringing attention to prisoners, Christian prisoners in Iran. And today they've released their prisoner of the day, Benham Irani. I love what they're doing, that they're bringing attention to us of the other prisoners as well who are suffering. And they're asking us to pray for the guards that watch over these prisoners, sometimes the guards that brutalize these prisoners. They're asking us to pray for the families of these prisoners. Today, we're focusing on Benham Irani. He was imprisoned in Karaj back in May of 2011. He's serving 6 years. And what is his charge? Acting against national security. Translation means he's a practicing Christian. He's part of a house church movement. Well, he's a pastor. He was the leader of a group within the Church of Iran network. Now, during the first few months of his imprisonment, he was held in solitary confinement in a small cell where guards repeatedly woke him from sleep, and that was part of the psychological torture. Now, please pray particularly for Benham. Covers from an operation he had this past February 22nd, following years of suffering with stomach ulcers and colon complications. Pray also for his wife, Christine, and their children. Benham Irani had an operation, something that Saeed needs. Benham Irani suffered pretty much from the same thing that Saeed is suffering from, and that is the internal bleeding. Let's pray that the hospital will admit Saeed and that he will be able to have this surgery so that his condition does not continue to deteriorate. So keep Benham Irani in your prayers as we continue to look forward to the official start of Nowruz in 2 days, and we're praying that the Iranian government will keep their word by granting clemency to political prisoners and that they can be set free. Well, I talk an awful lot here on The Cross in the Desert about what is Nowruz, but I thought an easy way for you to remember is to listen to this short historical documentary. If you've ever had questions about what really is Nowruz, what goes on, what are the traditions, I want you to hear this right now on The Cross in the Desert.
Nowruz is the name of the Persian New Year and marks the first day of spring. It has been celebrated for more than 3,000 years, not only in Iran, but in other countries as well. Celebrating Nowruz has become so widespread that in 2010, United Nations General Assembly recognized the International Day of Nowruz. Canadian Parliament also added Nowruz to the National Calendar of Canada in 2009. So what does Nowruz mean? The word Nowruz is a Persian compound word consisting of two words, no meaning new and ruz meaning day. Nowruz therefore means that a new day has begun, signaling the beginning of the new year. Interestingly, despite its popularity around the world, there's little agreement on the correct spelling of Nowruz, and numerous variations exist. As their most important national holiday, a typical Iranian family usually prepares for Nowruz a couple of weeks in advance. They start with a tradition called Khune Tekuni, which literally means shaking the house. Many spend days and days cleaning every spot of their home before the beginning of the new year. Close to the arrival of Nowruz, you may encounter men dressed in red on the streets of Iran whose faces are covered in soot. Called Haji Firuz, these men are the heralds of Nowruz. They sing and dance and deliver the news that Nowruz is coming. Haji Firuz is the sidekick of Uncle Nowruz, the equivalent of Santa Claus in the Persian culture. Similar to Santa Claus, Uncle Nowruz is also an old man with a white beard who brings gifts and good luck to people. The most prominent symbol of Nowruz is called the Hafsin table, and Iranians put extra care to decorate it. Hafsin in Farsi means the seven S's. It has seven items that start with the letter S, and each item represents an important symbol of life. Perhaps the most important element is sabze, which is wheat or lentil sprouts grown in a dish. It is a symbol of rebirth. Sib or apple is a symbol of beauty and health. Sir or garlic is a symbol of medicine. Serke or vinegar is a symbol of age and patience. Shumak is the symbol of the color of sunrise. Senjed or silver berry is the symbol of love. And finally, samanu, which is a sweet pudding, is a symbol of affluence. A half-seen table usually includes a wholly or well-known poetry book, a mirror, coins, decorated eggs, lit candles, a bowl of water with goldfish, and dried nuts. All in all, Hafsin tables are usually decorated elegantly and are very colorful. Iranians start the celebration of Nowruz at the time of the spring equinox, or the first day of spring, which is around March 21st. This is the time of the year that sunlight is evenly divided between the north and south hemispheres. Traditionally, Iranians start the celebration at the exact time that Nowruz arrives. It doesn't matter if it is midnight, 2 p.m. in the afternoon, or 4 a.m. in the morning. They dress up in their new clothes and gather around the Hafsin table. Then they wait for the exact moment of the spring arrival. Many visit their closest family members right after the arrival of Nowruz. For this reason, you may see many cars in the streets of Iran at 5 a.m. if the exact arrival of Nowruz was 4:30 a.m. Interestingly, many Iranians believe that whatever a person does during Nowruz will affect the rest of the year. Therefore, your chances of finding kind and affectionate Iranians during Nowruz are quite high. Nowruz celebrations last for 12 days. Schools and many offices are closed during this period, when visiting friends and family is the main activity. Iranians regard the 13th day as a bad luck day. In order to avoid the bad luck associated with the number 13, they go outdoors for picnics on the 13th day of spring. This day is called Sizde Bedar, which means getting rid of the 13th. Traditionally, on Sizde Bedar, some girls tie the leaves of their sabza dish before throwing it away. When they tie, they express their wish to get married before the next Sizde Bedar. Happy Nowruz, everyone! We hope that you enjoyed this video. Please share it with your friends so that they also know about Nowruz.
And there you have it. Everything you wanted to know but didn't know about the Nowruz celebration. I have a friend on Facebook. His name is Zahana Rasidian, and he sent me an article talking about the historical background of Nowruz, and he made a couple of points in the article that he shared with me that I found very interesting. As you, of course, know, the Islamic Republic rules and dictates the thinking and the doing of everyone in Iran. And it's really interesting, this article that he sent me says, Nowruz, of course, is not derived from religious or sacrificial rites. And this is one of the reasons the Islamic regime has attempted in vain to disgrace Nowruz. Really, everything to do with Persian history, the Iranian regime tries to rub out, to erase from the minds of Iranians. And they have been trying, apparently, to downplay the importance of Nowruz, because to them, everything in Iran, because of the imams, is about mourning. And Nowruz is about celebrating. So the Islamic regime has tried their best to get rid of the Nowruz celebration. Since its inception, the Islamic regime has been trying to extinguish all non-Islamic values and, of course, to disgrace Nowruz. This is amazing. A time of great celebration, the Persian New Year, and the regime does its best to disgrace and downplay this very important Iranian event that takes place every year. I'm looking forward to Nowruz. I have a special time with my Iranian friend to meet her via Skype and be the first time in my life to ever attend a Nowruz celebration via Skype right into her home. I'm really, really looking forward to this. I hope everything technically goes well so that this happens. It'll be my first Nowruz celebration, and I promise I will share it with you on Nowruz and let you know what it was like to actually be there, if you will, via Skype. Well, I want to talk to you now about a very important movie that is soon to come out. In fact, March 28th is the day of its release. I'm referring to the movie Veil of Tears, the oppression of Asian women, particularly in India. This is an important film because, once again, we are talking about the treatment of women all over the world. And while there is a real, real mistreatment, dishonoring of women in Iran that I talk about constantly here on The Cross in the Desert, it's also widespread, and it occurs in India. So what I want to do right now is I want you to hear this brief explanation, this movie trailer, of the upcoming movie Veil of Tears right here on The Cross in the Desert.
There once lived a king in the enchanted land known as India. One of the most culturally vibrant countries in the world today, India is a cross-section of modern ingenuity and ancient tradition. Although hailed as the largest democratic nation on earth, one-third of the world's impoverished are living within its borders. The 2012 gang rape of a young woman on a bus in Delhi ignited a firestorm of international headlines. This violence of oppression against the women of India is a problem that has spanned centuries. This cultural persecution follows women from their birth, overshadowing their entire life, until death. Is there a solution to this societal injustice? Hope is on the way. There is a remnant of women rising from the ashes, restoring worth and dignity to generations of broken women and shattered lives. From the producers of the critically acclaimed film Kim Jong-Ilia, take a journey into the heart of tragedy. Witness the adversity, the triumph. The Women of a Forgotten World.
In a society dominated by men and ruled by a culture of gender segregation, how is it even possible to reach out and help these oppressed women?
Hi, I'm Natalie Grant, and for more information about this film, please visit veiloftearsmovie.com.
This is a must view for every one of us to learn about the oppression of women, especially in Asia. I talk about a lot of the Middle East, Asia, the Far East. Oppression continues there. There has been some very significant Christian films come out in the last month. One of them, Son of God, and the one, God's Not Dead, is destined to be another film that you want to see. And speaking of Veil of Tears, I want you to hear from the gospel founder of Gospel for Asia, K.P. Yohanan. He talks about this very important film and why you and me really need to see it.
Now, one of the main reasons I wanted to talk with you today was you've got a movie coming out. And I know you're not normally a Hollywood star, but the Saylor brothers, the two wonderful filmmakers, have made a movie called Veil of Tears. Can you share about that?
Yes. I mean, Veil of Tears is a movie made to explain and portray the unbelievable suffering of the women in India and many other nations. And think about it, the highest suicide rate among women in the whole world is in India. 21 times more number of women commit suicide because of despair and hopelessness. For example, there are 46 million widows in India. You're talking about young girls as young as 16 or 17, or, I mean, once the husband dies, they're usually rejected, abandoned, and they have nothing to go back to. And we have hundreds of sisters actually trained to work among these people. Like in Calcutta, in the last few months, one of our teams saw over 125 women living and selling their bodies in the red light district, all rescued, gave their lives to Christ, all their children put in Bridge of Hope Center to give them hope for the children. So the Veil of Tears is incredibly powerful movie that helps us to see the suffering of the women, but not only that, how the gospel, the love of Christ, changing tens of thousands of these women who are locked their way into slavery and illiteracy, especially from the low caste, the Dalit community. It's almost, I mean, every time I watch the thing, I had to cry because it's just so real. It's not, it's a documentary movie.
It's a must-see. I cannot tell you how important it is that we are educated on the way that women are treated globally. Just recently, March 8th was International Women's Day, and I had many postings on my page. The way women are treated is deplorable. And it leads me to the next segment I want to talk to you about. I remember just about 30 minutes ago, I shared with you a quote from a Saudi Arabian professor. This next documentary film is another must-see for you and me. Honor Diaries deals with gender inequality and gender violence in the Muslim world. And just like the professor said, he says if a woman gets raped walking in public alone, then she herself is at fault. She is only seducing men by her presence. She should have stayed home like a Muslim woman. It's that kind of thinking and mentality that leads to the violence, the mistreatment of women in the Muslim world. It's that kind of thinking and mentality that oppresses women in the Muslim world, where there are a group of women, very well-known activists that have gotten together in a documentary film to do something about this deplorable problem of honor killing, gender inequality, and gender violence in the Muslim world. They have gotten together on a documentary film known as Honor Diaries. This is a must-view for all of us. Again, education. It helps us to speak out and pray for these women that suffer every day, those that we may never see in our entire lifetime, but that we can be a voice for because we watched a film that motivated us, that said, you must speak out and do something about this problem. What I want to do right now on The Cross in the Desert is take you behind the scenes and have you meet the cast and hear them talk about their involvement on the documentary film Honor Diaries right now on The Cross in the Desert.
My name is Raquel Saraswati. I am an activist, and I write about the abuses of women in the Muslim world and worldwide.
I'm Nazi Eftekhari. a lot of the human rights work I do is, I think, in reaction to literally, you know, waking up in the morning and taking these events around the world very personally.
My name is Nazanin Afshinjam. I'm a human rights activist, and I focus a lot on women's rights issues.
She is a former Miss World Canada.
I'm only one person, and sometimes I feel helpless in a situation, and I wish there was others around me, and that's why I was so pleased in that salon setting to meet other women who are working on different issues for women's rights.
I'm Fahima Hashim from Sudan, and I live there.
Islam is my spiritual journey, and it is part of that journey that has brought me here to share with my sisters, because I feel like all of you, that the struggle for women is our struggle.
Saudi women aren't allowed to drive themselves to work or even to the doctor's office.
The atrocities and the disadvantages perpetrated on women in the name of Islam are real, and they're manifold.
Serious sexual harassment and attacks on women in Egypt. Groping, stripping, and rapes have become increasingly frequent.
Mutilation of the body, acid violence.
There has been a wave of killing specifically targeting girls who study or women who work.
There's a terrible fear of the educated, empowered woman.
I have the right of education. I have the right to play. I have the right to sing. I have the right to talk. I have the right to go to market. I have the right to speak up.
The Taliban targeted 15-year-old Malala Yousafzai and her friends.
He asked for Malala by name, and then he shot her.
This is one of the most alarming human rights issues in the world.
This is being done in the name of some ideology that is full of violence and hatred.
The causes of crisis have everything to do with the part of tradition and religion, which are clearly about the oppression of women. It's the honestest
concept of honor. It's very difficult to explain it to Western societies. A lot of it has to do with how women behave and the sexuality of women.
Honor is something that is carried and contained in women and is there to be guarded by men.
The honor of a family is vested in a woman's body. The honor of a family is vested in what she does and what she says. His honor is connected to what she does and says. It's a misplaced sense of honor.
It's a harmless word replacing control of male over female.
For me, and for the girls and boys, because we support boys too, when they give voice to honor, they describe it as being like the weather. It's ever-present, it's all-consuming, it's unpredictable, it's fluid, it's never static, you never know which way it's going to shift and change. And one of the big questions we ask is, what does honor mean to you? And as soon as you ask a victim that question, straight away it unlocks Pandora's box.
Female genital cutting. Most commonly done before puberty, some young girls will have their clitoris completely removed to preserve their virginity.
Female genital mutilation is not advocated in Islam in any way, shape, or form. It doesn't appear in the Quran, but has very much been adopted by some Muslim societies.
My cousins were just going for circumcision the next day, so everybody was preparing food and they're making big event. So I was in my uncle's house, so I had small booklets on how harmful circumcision is, and I sneaked up to his room and I gave him the books and I told him, don't do that. You know what happened? He came, because his eldest daughter was circumcised, he came crying and he really asked his daughter to forgive him, and he refused for the other two to be circumcised the next day.
When we're talking about the root cause of addressing gender disparity and empowering women, we do have to look at child marriages.
There's a real kind of a lack of an understanding of what women and girls face once they're forced into a marriage, right? I mean, these marriages are consummated through rape.
During sex, I was crying and begging him to stop, but he didn't listen. Then he put his hand on my mouth like this. I couldn't breathe, and I was crying, but he used me anyway.
My sister suffered a horrific marriage.
She was a 15-year-old in school that went missing from education, as they still do today, and nobody noticed her missing. And she was gone for 9 months and came back as somebody's wife. You know, she missed so much school that she was put back into my year at school. She had a wedding ring on her finger. She spoke English. She just in the middle of her GCSEs. And she never wore Western dress again. And nobody stopped to ask the question why. And I reflect upon that when she died. Because she set herself on fire and died, and that's the last picture I remember her looking like that.
A mother and father accused of dousing their teenage daughter in acid. Her crime, looking at a boy. She turned to look at him. I told her before not to do that. I started beating her. Then her mother brought the acid. It was her destiny to die this way.
I don't think people are aware of just how prevalent it is, and that it is happening in the United States, that it's increasing here, and that it's not such a fluke when it does happen.
Her parents beat her after seeing her with a boy.
Police are saying the teen was abused because she didn't want to go through with an arranged marriage.
Georgia police say he strangled his daughter to protect his family's honor.
Muzamil Hassan is accused of beheading his wife after she filed for divorce.
And allegedly run down by her own father for becoming too westernized.
There was a case in Texas of Sarah and Amina Saeed who were murdered by their father, but what we found out afterward is that they had been regularly abused, they had been sexually abused, that they went to school with bruises, and normally a teacher or counselor has the responsibility to report that to the state, and the child should be removed from the home. But these girls went to school every day with obvious signs of abuse.
That, I have to say, is a practice that is happening all the time up and down the UK, where girls are presenting not believed, or people thinking, don't lift up the hijab, go and check the bruises. And she's actually saying, I told them the bruises were there, but they wanted to be careful.
We shy away from criticizing anything that's different, because we don't want to be seen as the type of people who would restrict people's expression. You know, and I think that that's very, very well motivated.
Why is it that everybody's afraid to say that Muslim women are deprived of their humanity?
Because people are, you know, slapped with these labels of being an Islamophobe, and people don't want to speak out.
And when you do dissent, you are threatened, you are bullied, you are intimidated, and that's happening here in the United States.
My mother, when I started the organization, the first thing out of her mouth, she said, you're going to get killed.
I've had fatwas, I've had death threats, I get hate mail.
The threats to rape you, burn your face with acid. I'm afraid all the time.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean you can't also be courageous. It's very, very easy to break a twig or a stick. But when you bundle them together, you can't break that.
By us coming together, showing a united front, I'm sure we can defeat them.
On March 8th, over 25 human rights organizations around the world will join together with 9 women's rights activists to start a new movement to break the silence and bring about change. Starting March 8th, these 9 activists will reach out to thousands of people to educate them about women's rights in a new film, Honor Diaries. Honor Diaries is the untold story of countless women and girls who suffer outrageous and shocking human rights abuses every day. Told exclusively through women's voices, Honor Diaries is the first film of its kind to bring together women's activists to shatter the silence and speak freely on the topic of honor. The UN has named March 8th International Women's Day, and on this day there will be screenings of Honor Diaries across the U.S. and around the world.
The continuation of this dialogue is in need to make the realization of the importance of women's voices with the support of men and women, of other faces, of other cultures, other communities, because without them we cannot make a change.
Hi guys, my name is Paula Queskin, and I'm the writer and producer of Honor Diaries. Honor Diaries talks about one of the most important human rights issues today, the subjugation and persecution of women in honor-based societies. We want the whole world to pay attention and talk about Honor Diaries and the important issues that it raises. We've already got screenings set up in the U.S., Canada, the U.K., but we need to move beyond that, and that's where you come in. We're raising money, $10,000 to be exact, to get the film translated and to get distribution and screenings set up in countries like Egypt, Afghanistan, and Pakistan. Without you, we really won't be able to do that. So please get involved and think about joining us and making a contribution. Be a part of the movement, be the change you want to see in the world, and get involved with Honor Diaries. Thanks so much.
A truly, truly powerful and remarkable film that all of us have to see. To break the silence and be a voice for these oppressed women is something that I do here on the Cross in the Desert, and I share in that same vision that this becomes a worldwide project speaking out, because since day one I began doing this on Blog Talk Radio, I have a vision of speaking out and praying for these oppressed women, being a voice for them. And this film brings together some very powerful voices of human rights activists all over the world that are unashamed and unafraid to speak out, sometimes at the peril of their own life. It is very risky in a society of honor and shame, and that is a society in the Middle East. We have that culture of honor and shame as they outline so very well. So make it a requirement for your educational value, for your speaking out, to watch this film, Honor Diaries. Two very important films this month of March, Veil of Tears and Honor Diaries. When I see and hear the stories, these horrible stories of oppressed women, I want to remind them somehow that in their plight for freedom, they are not alone. And this next artist, Meredith Andrews, wrote a song called You Are Not Alone that speaks up for women, I think, all over the world, to let them know that the God of love and compassion, the God that I serve, does not leave them alone, but that he is with them, even in the darkest of circumstances. So I want you to hear this beautiful tribute to them by Meredith Andrews. Here's a song called You Are Not Alone on the Cross in the Desert. Beautiful song, Meredith Andrews, You Are Not Alone. And the God of love and compassion that I serve proclaims that you are not alone, that he is with you in the darkest, the most deplorable of circumstances. The God of love and compassion that I serve experienced real suffering in his body, in his soul, in his mind, when godless men nailed him to a cross. The God of love and compassion that I serve defies with the suffering of these women all over the world. And he says and he promises he will rescue the poor when they cry to them. He will help the oppressed who have no one to defend them. He feels pity for the weak and the needy, and he will rescue them. He will redeem them from oppression and violence. Why? Because their lives are precious to him. I've quoted this psalm, Psalm 72, on many, many of my programs. I really feel like this is the theme of what I'm supposed to say to oppressed women all over the world. We've talked about Nowruz today. We've talked about two major films that you really need to see. And I just want to end this segment by once again emphasizing my commitment to the rights of Iranian women and women all over the world. And that's why I wrote the book, The Rose of Nowruz, a year and a half ago. It is a book that God has opened up many, many doors for me because of it. And I've had the privilege of meeting such important human rights activists through this book. And I'm really thankful to the Lord for this gift, that this book could have been written to speak loudly for the oppression of women in Iran. And in one of the chapters in the book, chapter 2, my character, whose name is Behera, has just spent the day at Tehran University. And she's listened to the professor who spoke out and said that women are really valued in Iran, that women are treated equally as men in Iran. And she's listened to this rhetoric, and she can't take it anymore because she knows it's wrong, because she knows it's flawed, that it's not true. And so you have to imagine my character here. She's waiting for the bus to go home. She takes the bus to go home because it's a good distance from where she lives. And she's sitting there waiting, and she has her journal. She's thought about the day. She's thought about what she saw when she woke up in the morning outside of her window. She saw the Ghazi Irshad dragging a woman into one of the vans because she definitely retaliated against the Islamic dress code. And she saw the way that men treated this woman, that they even beat her because she resisted them. And she's heard her professor talk about how women are treated equal. And she is at a point in her life, that is Behera, that feels the need to break the silence. And, you know, living in Iran, to break the silence and to speak out can cost you your life. Just talk to the journalists, the bloggers, to the political prisoners, to the Behera Hadayas, to the Nazar Institutes. Ask them what it meant for them to speak out. Prison. They know all too well the cost of breaking the silence. But in my book, The Rose of Nowruz, Behera sits there waiting for the bus, and she realizes what she hears from her friends, she has to say something. So she takes her pen and paper and writes a declaration that defines who she has become. Because, you see, Behera has been this soft-spoken, quiet, reserved daughter of her mom and dad, respectful, do what mom and dad says, but she's reached that pinnacle where she has to say something. And so she writes this declaration. Declaration sounds just like this. I am a woman. I am more than just a veil. I am more than what I wear. I am someone. Someone who has the right to speak her mind, the right to be heard, the right to pursue her dreams, the right to be respected, and the right to be treated as an equal. I have the right to live as I choose, the right to pursue my dreams, and the right to be happy. God has given me all of these rights, and no man or government can take these rights away from me. I am a woman, and I proclaim my right to be free. There are many, many women, just like Behera, who haven't broken the silence because of fear. They know the consequences of speaking out, and you know about the horror stories. And that's why I'm thankful for these movies, these documentary films, Veil of Tears and Honor Diaries. These activists are paving the way all over the world for others who are afraid to speak out, to break the silence. And like Bahira in my book, The Rose of Nowruz, she came to a point in her life where she knew she had to say something to break the silence. But with that breaking of silence, there comes a cost. There comes a cost for doing that. These women need our voices. They need our prayers. They need our speaking out. Tell you firsthand that every one of those things I just mentioned makes a difference. It does. I believe it will make a difference in Saeed's life ultimately. I believe that our speaking out and praying is paving the way for oppressed men and women, but particularly women, to stand up and say enough is enough. These films that I spoke about in this hour are made specifically to educate us, but also so that you and me can get involved. You see, it takes all of us. For us to keep silent in our free societies, for us to not get involved in our comfort zone, is really sin. It's betrayal to those that don't have that luxury and freedom that you and I have. And what should move us is compassion for them, compassion and love for them. Your little speaking out and praying can be the very thing causes a breakthrough. And I cannot tell you enough how much we who live in a free society, in our corner of the world, how we can make a difference. I think of my friends that speak out daily making a difference. My dear friend Shabnam, human rights activist, Iranian human rights activist in Canada. I think of my dear friend Shadi Pavey, another human rights activist in Canada, who daily educate us on Facebook with the happenings of what's going on in Iran, who educate us for the purpose that we get involved, that we too speak out. You see, it's that human rights heart in all of us that speaks out against the things that are wrong. Let's not pass up that opportunity to do that today. It took a crisis in the life of Bahira to sit down and write this declaration. Crisis will it take to motivate you to simply sit at your computer and be silent? I don't know how you can do that. When you hear professors saying that a woman's rape situation is her fault and that her duty is to stay at home, I don't know how you can sit by and be silent. We have an opportunity to speak out. You know, the day could come on the internet where governments get so involved in controlling free speech that we no longer have it. And so in light of that, let's seize the day and take advantage of our right to speak out now. I've heard rumors that the internet is going to be turned over to the European governments who are so politically correct and who want to control. I don't want that day to happen. So let's take advantage of this time now, when we have the freedom to say what's on our heart and mind, when we have the freedom to raise these issues that are controversial in some societies. Let's not pass up this opportunity to speak out and pray. And so I hope today I've motivated you. I hope that by listening about these movies, that in your heart of hearts, if you've been silent, you say today, Randy, I can't stand by. I need to say something. I need to post something on my Facebook page. I need to write a blog. I need to do something that will defend these women all over the world who are suffering in these honor and shame societies. Take this day as an opportunity to do just that. I want to ask for your continued prayers for Saeed, for Benham Irani, and all Christian prisoners, all prisoners, that is, in prison in Iran during this Nowruz. Let's lift our hearts and minds in prayers to God that they will be set free that clemency will be given to them, and your prayers indeed do make a difference. If you feel the need to talk to me to discuss these issues, please request me on Facebook. I'm Randy L. Noble. I'd be glad to be your friend. My Facebook page, as I say to all my friends, is dedicated to the peace and freedom of all Iranians. You are welcome on my page. I want you to come on my page. And if you want to be friends and we want to talk more about these issues, please don't hesitate to friend request me. This is an important time in our history when we can really make a difference and make a change in all of these gross human rights violations. They happen largely because we are silent. And don't be a victim of the evil of silence. You have an opportunity to do something about it. I want to thank you so much for spending this last hour listening and hearing my heart. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to do just that. And you are also, by the way, in my thoughts and prayers, regardless if I know you or not. Thank you so much for stopping by. It has been a pleasure to be here on the Cross in the Desert. I will see you on Nowruz, which is this Thursday, for a special presentation of the Cross in the Desert. Have yourself an incredible rest of the week. God bless you. Thank you for joining me on this edition of the Cross in the Desert. Goodbye, and God bless you.
Healing rain is coming down. It's coming nearer to this old town. Rich and poor, weak and strong, it's bringing mercy. It won't be long. Healing rain is coming down. It's coming closer to the lost and found. Tears of joy and tears.